Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, yesterday you had a conversation with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in which you talked about the fact that the state has now canceled its 2020 Democratic presidential primary election because of the coronavirus pandemic, and that has infuriated former candidate Bernie Sanders' campaign and his supporters. The governor addressed that.
Well, yes, it's a very difficult situation because what happened is the state Democratic Party, of course, it's hard to believe that Cuomo has nothing to do with this, although he says it's them and not him, have come up with a plan to cancel the primary because it brings people together, they're in close proximity, and that there really isn't an election either on the Republican side in the national primary because Trump doesn't really have an opponent, and on the Democratic side because Bernie Sanders has said to Biden, I endorse you, and has stepped aside, allegedly. But it turns out that the Sanders supporters, thinking that they're going to get an awful lot of votes in New York State, are furious. And they say, we wanted to come into the convention with enough delegates so that we could make a difference in our programming. In other words, the Sanders people are sort of creating a rear guard action, something that wasn't supposed to happen, but is happening. And they are saying that the Democratic Party had no right to cancel this primary. And obviously, this is not good for the Biden forces, who need to move forward without having much in the way of a contest. Sanders people, on the other hand, really want it.
Well, another primary. Today it's in Ohio, and as the AP points out, it's the first major test of an almost completely vote-by-mail election during a pandemic, offering lessons to other states about how to conduct one of the most basic acts of democracy amid a health crisis. Ohio law guarantees that voters who don't receive a ballot they requested by the legal deadline can vote in person.
Well, David, I don't fully understand the whole thing, but I can tell you that this question of voting becomes very important, especially in the middle of a pandemic. Now, we don't know what all of the ramifications of the disease are. We do know that states are beginning to start talking about opening up again. It's interesting that they want to do that. The curve has been flattened. People want to get back to work, but we still haven't made any real progress. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have a cure. Every day we hear news that is somewhat disconcerting. For example, we recently heard that people don't have to have a temperature in order to have the disease. You know, this is a country which has been testing everybody as they've come into any place to see if they have a temperature. So it turns out that, among other things, we don't even know about that. The question always becomes, what comes first? Do we want to protect human life, or do we want to create institutions which go on no matter what? We do know, David, that a very small group of people have been honking their horns and driving around capitals and saying, open things up. Governor Cuomo has been very articulate about making it clear that people's health comes first. Okay, so let's project into when Donald Trump now turns around and says, in order to keep people safe, we have to cancel or postpone the national election. There are a lot of people out there who think that that is going to happen. So you get the New Yorks, the Ohios, all of the places dealing with democracy versus health. And then in some way, it plays right into this president's hands. Right now, he sees himself losing across the board. He sees himself losing in the marginal states he won. He sees the national figures not good for him. And it is clear he'll do what he has to do in order to stay in office.
Well, let's stick with the president for a moment. Briefings were not worth the time, Trump said, but he couldn't stay away, says the New York Times. Just hours after the White House officially canceled his planned appearance on Monday, the lure of the cameras proved too hard to resist, and the attacks and the self-congratulations were on display again.
David, I got this one wrong. I didn't say it, but I really felt that he realized every time he puts his puss on the screen that his ratings are going down and down, and that, you know, if he wanted to salvage all of this, he had to just sort of disappear, let the scientists take over the briefings, which they started, and that that would be it, and that he would start to understand that he was killing himself when it came to being on the air. I'm not sympathetic, of course, because I really think this guy is a dangerous menace. Nevertheless, I thought he had learned that lesson. But you're right when you say he couldn't avoid getting back there. Everybody was laughing at me when I talked to them in private about this, and they would say, of course he's going to come back. He has to. That's the kind of megalomaniacal fellow that he is.
The toll that the virus is taking on the hardest hit states is just unimaginable. Alan, I see a story this morning in the New York Times. It's heartbreaking. Top Manhattan ER doctor commits suicide, shaken by coronavirus onslaught. Yeah. It's a horrific story, but it just shows the pressure these first responders, doctors, and nurses are under.
David, it is so true. But that's not all. It's the mental health part of this that you're referring to that is so dangerous. Look, many people are having to stay alone in a house or a home or a one-room apartment, and it takes a toll. Both you and I are married. We have wonderful families. We have support groups. We have phones. Imagine with none of that. And even we, David, obviously feel this kind of thing because it's not an easy thing to go through. We all know we're under tremendous pressure, and that pressure leads to mental health problems. So this wonderful doctor takes her life, and it's so, so sad. But forget about somebody as impressive as that. Think about all the people who are facing this lonely existence as a result of this.
And political observer Alan Chartok, well, hopefully we can help with some of that loneliness. We're here for you.
David, you are so right. This is a radio station that is everybody's friend. You turn it on, there we are. You know that no matter what happens, we'll be there for you as long as we can keep going. And as I said before, that's not going to be easy. These are tough times. So anybody who can do something goes to WAMC.org. Or you can go to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206.